I read a story some years ago about one of the groups that was climbing Mount Everest. At that time, one man was going to make the final ascent. And though the weather wasn't good, they thought it was their only chance. And so he went up and he disappeared in the clouds. And they never saw him again. But they said of him, he was last seen going up. That's the way I want to wind up my life. Last seen going up. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, these topics are for me, and I welcome you to listen in as I think out loud. I want to just make a few thoughts tonight to review what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You can be a church member, as you know, and not be a disciple. You can read the Bible and not be a disciple. You can be a Sunday school teacher or even a pastor and not be a disciple. You can cast out demons and not be a disciple. Why, you can even know John Crawford personally and not be a disciple. Although that would be very difficult. What does it mean to be a follower? Could we review that? I know you've... Well, I know that. Sure you do. But it might not hurt to rethink it. And the passage I wish to use is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly," or "I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The theme here, I think, is rest, mentioned twice. You'll find rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, it's hard to be a disciple. I take exception to that. Being a true follower of Jesus Christ puts fizz in the coke. It puts a spring in your step. It puts a light in your eyes. His yoke is easy. It is light. Nobody should be walking around kind of like hangdog. Not if you're following Jesus Christ. I can see this message, I'm already clear off my notes. But I figured, I was thinking love, joy, peace. I do love people. I have peace. But where's the joy? So I printed out every word, every scripture in the Bible, I rejoice or joy, trying to figure out how do you have joy. And I looked up something on the word rejoice. You know what it means? Brighten up. I spent weeks on that. I can do that. You can do that. I know some people, they'll answer the telephone. "Hello? Hi there, this is Lauren." "Well, hello, Lauren." You can brighten up. Well, I'm talking about something that comes even deeper than deciding to brighten up. One day, a few years ago, I went to the kitchen there at our NAV office in Colorado Springs. I have an office there still. I show up 3 mornings a week. And I was feeling kind of stressed out, like he talks about here. Tired and overworked. Of course, most of the work in the world gets done by people who are tired and don't feel well. But I was stressed, and I thought, I'm going to be honest. And so I saw a guy in there, and he said, "How are you, Lauren?" I said, "Man, I'm stressed out." And all they might say, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." You know what he said? "Oh, man, so am I." And I was disappointed there because I wanted a little sympathy myself. So he went on to tell me why he was stressed out, and I never got to tell him why I was stressed out. So I went on a personal search for somebody who wasn't stressed out. And here and there, over 2 years, I asked people, and I never found one person who was, said, oh yeah, I'm stressed out. But there was a waitress in California, I'd never met her before. I said, pardon me, could I ask you a question? Do you feel stressed out? Oh yeah, she said, I sure do. This is... I said, have you ever heard of anybody that's not stressed out? She said, my mother. Oh, I said, I'd love to meet your mother. The first person I knew. Well, this scripture is addressed to people like that. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If you're stressed out, come to me. And I'll give you rest. We'll lift that burden. We'll put that spring back in your step. Yeah, we can handle it together. And so what does he say? He gives us three guidelines for being a true disciple. Simple. Come to me. Yoke with me. Learn from me. First of all, come to me. You know what that means? That's more than just an invitation. It's a summons. He's saying, come. Hey, over there. Come over here by me. What are you doing over there? Come here by me. A lot of us are over there, over here, running over there. Maybe here's the answer. Maybe it's in that book. Maybe it's in that seminar. Maybe it's from this counselor. None of these are bad. Maybe it's from here. But we're running around. We're kind of like that dog on the football field that happened in our town when I was growing up in high school. You probably have seen it. A dog gets loose in the football field right in the middle of the game, and the game stops while the officials try to catch the dog or drive it off, and then maybe some of the players entered in and the police, and then the people in the audience start to whistle and call, and the dog not only gets confused but panicked. It's the way some of us are. There are a lot of people like that. Voices from every direction. No one person, no one direction, no focus. And then that dog perks up. He hears a voice. Buster, come. And he goes right straight for his master. And the rest of that begins to die down. Now he has a focus, his master. That's what Jesus is saying. Come. Come. Over here by me. Let me be your one person and your one voice. That takes life and just focuses, and everything else then begins to fall into line, doesn't it? And you know what I like to think? When that dog comes up to his master, what do you think the next word he hears? Good boy. Then what? Heel. Heal. And so he does, and the master walks out of the stadium, and there's that dog right behind him. That's a disciple. Comes to Jesus, and he tags at his heels the rest of his life. One person, one voice above all others. Is that you tonight? Or have you lost that focus? You've gotten involved in a lot of things, and you need to refocus on one person and on one voice. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Let him heal. And where I am, there will my servant be also. I grew up on a farm in Iowa. The Dust Bowl days that you read about in history books in the 30s drove Dad off the farm. One day he auctioned off everything, including the farm. And like the Okies and the Arkies of that day, the John Steinbeck Grapes of Wrath days, we too loaded up the car and headed for California. And there is a senior in high school. In typing class, I saw a beautiful blonde girl. I found out she went to church regularly. And I was no dummy. I thought, well, I need to get interested in what she's interested in. Though I had gone to Sunday school and church as a kid, but I dropped out when I was about 13. The Bible is dry as dust. You remember that, don't you? Here's a good-looking girl, went to church. My idea of a church-going girl wasn't particularly flattering. I thought it was more of a wallflower type, but here's a bouncy gal, and I, a little old kind of a shy guy from the farm, I wonder if I could have a girl like her, and I mustered up enough courage, and I went to a little church one Sunday night where she went so I could walk her home afterwards. You heard what I said, walk her home. That's a long time ago, right? And so I went there. That night I heard for the first time I could remember that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for me. Now, I didn't know about that. In fact, I heard I was a sinner, and I knew that already. But the part I never heard was that I needed to receive him into my heart as my own personal Savior. I need to come to him as my Savior. So one night I did that beside my bed. 17. The Bible came alive. I wanted to pray. John, you know what? I had cancer. I was in the hospital. I really got some great help from a friend of mine. He came to visit me. He said, Lauren, you got to get ready to die. Thanks, Buster. It was a doctor, a medical doctor, who told me this. Well, that's good advice. I said, you know, I did that when I was 17. And it's still there. Yeah. Well, that's another sermon. Sammy, keep on right here. Now, what did I read here? Boy, do I love computers where you can put it in large print. Neat. That's really neat. Hey, could it be that you came here and you're not really sure that you've ever received Christ in your life? That you've ever come to him? You know what I did that night? I just got out of bed on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my heart before, I do ask you to come in right now. And I got back into bed. And that's when my life has changed. And I can look back and say, that's when I was born again. That's when I came to Christ. And I've tried to heal ever since. Jesus said, come to me. And then he said, take my yoke upon you, me, or yoke with me. Now, you know what a yoke is. Of course, a yoke is a wooden frame that they put on oxes either on their head or on their shoulders so they will team up and pull together. Of course, when you got horses, you got a yoke there at the end of the tongue that hooks them together. You clip them on their shoulder pads so they can pull together, work together. Well, Jesus says, yoke with me. As I say, he's not saying, all right, come to me and I want you to go to work for me. He says, no, come to me and work with me. I'm not asking you to go work for me. Let's work together. Work with me. As a young Christian, I remember one of the first mottos, Christian mottos I ever saw in someone's home, and I liked it very much, and I still do, except one modification. It says, only one life will too soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you ever seen that? I think it needs to be modified. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done with Christ will last. Or to use a little different illustration, I used to think that my quiet time was like reporting into God at his holy office. He'd give me some instructions. I'd say so long, so to speak, see you tonight, and go out through the day by myself. Then I found out it's a lot better than that. We meet together in his holy office. He comes out from behind his desk, so to speak, and we walk through the day together. Yoke with me. And we go through life together. That blonde and I had our first date when she was 16, I was 17. It was in June. It was in September that I knelt beside my bed that night. The next month, October, and I don't know if you use this term anymore, we called it going steady. You weren't going to date anybody else. Following January, she and I went to a youth meeting citywide. And an invitation was given, or the challenge was given, to commit your life, surrender to serve Him, follow Him, wherever in the world that would lead you. Whatever and wherever. At the invitation, they sang the song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." And that blonde girl and I got up, and hand in hand, we walked down front. We stood there, and we made that commitment together. And it still stands, 61 years later. We yoked with Him. And what an adventure life has been. Never dreamed. So Jesus says, yoke with me. He said, why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I heard about a preacher who one Sunday night after Sunday school teaching, visiting the afternoon, preaching in the evening, he was at home in the kitchen, sitting there with his wife, sipping a cup of tea, and he was rehearsing all the burdens he carried. The burden of preparing the sermons. The burden of trying to help families that are trying to split up. Kids that were wayward. And he went on and on about all these burdens he was carrying. When he finally ran out of them, his wife said, "Dear, you know, I think your responsibility is to represent God, not be God." Well, I'd put it just a little bit differently, but I would say, Jesus said, yoke with me, my burden is easy, the load's light, I can handle it, and you and I can handle it together. Yeah. Then he says, learn from me. Come to me, yoke with me, learn from me. A disciple is a follower and a learner, right? I remember my dad, when I was just a little kid on the farm, said, "Son, we're going to teach Maribel," that was a young horse, "how to pull a wagon." No, he said, "We're going to have Dolly teach her how to pull a wagon." Dolly was a 15-year-old steady horse. So I watched his dad hook him up. I was too small to even help him hook him. Maybe I might have snapped something here or there, but I stood a little clear of Maribel. And so he got him there. Everything was okay thus far. He got up there in the wagon, and then he just gave a signal to go forward and just slapped him a little on the back. And Dolly started, and of course Maribel didn't. And the single tree hit her in the back of the legs. Up she went. And oh, things, I tell you. Everything broke loose. That Maribel went nuts. Threw her head, stomped, and all the rest, and around pulling, going forward and backward, until you know how some of you farmers remember, and got lather on her that thick. But old Dolly just kept moving along, steady. I think that Maribel finally got so tired and thought, I think Dolly's way is better. Jesus said, learn from me. Learn from me. All that feverish activity, that nervous activity, and all that. Let's just calm down here, and let's pull the load together. You think it's too much? We can handle it together. Sure we can. Learn from me. And then, as you know, the only time that I know of that he told why we should learn from him is right here. He says, why? Because I like I said, meek and lowly in heart. You know why the meek inherit the earth? The rest die of coronaries. Yeah. Loosen up a little bit here. Come to Jesus. Yoke with him. Learn from him. Or as the NIV puts it, I am gentle and humble. And Paul, you said something in your testimony, your song there that as in your introductory word, we need it most at home. That's where we learn to be meek and humble, men. One morning I got up grumpy, came to the table, and I sort of felt like the family ought to know who's in charge. Yeah. I mean, you got to know there's a head of the house around here, and I'm going to show them. Wasn't long, they're all in tears. I thought, well, I'm succeeding. That's what they need. And I didn't really feel bad about it. I headed off to work. Pulled out my memory pack to review some verses, and on the top was 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Ooh, is that what Jesus would have done? So what do? The nearest phone booth. You call home. And you got to humble yourself. And when your family assembles for dinner, before you pray, what do? You ask forgiveness. It's the greatest test of true discipleship, marriage and parenthood. And thank God for it. And one little aside, men, don't forget that a whisper from dad is like a shout from mother. You've got to be gentle and humble at home. And we learn it from Jesus. Well, how are you tonight? Are you great? You're not like the dog in the football field, are you? Or like Maribel, the horse? We may need to quiet down a little bit. Kind of relax a little. The Lord can take care of things at home for you. I hope you're committed to being all here while you're here. And that during these days together, we might say, I want to come. Yeah, I'll respond to you, Lord. I'll come to you and I'll keep coming. I'll yoke with you and I'll keep on yoking. I'll learn from you and I will keep on learning. That's what a true disciple does, don't you think so? Let's pray. Lord, in my own behalf, and the behalf of all these men, I come to you, Lord Jesus, to say that as best we know our hearts, we respond to your invitation to come to you, and keep on coming. To yoke with you at your invitation. And keep on yoking. And where we've drifted off, to come back. And to learn. And keep on learning. Especially this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.